chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, let me begin. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elementary spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. This is the word of God. And you may be seated.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So today I'm going to preach. And as you know, my English is not my first language, so forgive me if I pronounce. Forgive me if I pronounce something wrong, and please take it in context. Because, like last week, I was in the children's church. I was like, the guy packed up the bat and go. He said, "No, it's not bat, it's bat." I was like, "Okay." So, I make PowerPoint so that you guys can follow along my sermon. Let me explain a little bit. You guys got this note. This is not the note. This is the annexa of what is going through today. Basically, it's a bunch of word search throughout. Like you can see from the first page is about mystery. The second page is the word wisdom. The third page is about rooted. The fourth page is built upon. This is a mind map of walk. And then you have all the scriptures support it, and then they are reminded of in Christ. Okay? But I would, as we go through the preaching, I will teach you how to use them. You will need our beautiful, wonderfully made by Roxana sermon pages. You can write the main point. Today we have three main points. Okay, so there's nothing too bad and nothing wrong to read the scriptures again and again. So let's start with reading the scripture again. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their heart may be encouraged, being knitted together in love, to reach at the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible argument. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good orders and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So to it that no one take you captive by philosophies and empty deceits, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirit of the world, and not according to Christ. So today, next slide, I'm focusing on this. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in faith, just as you were taught about it in thanksgiving. So, there's a lot of things going on. I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to explain what is this? What is walk, what is rooted, what is built up, what is established in faith, and how do we abound in thanksgiving. Okay, next slide. So, point number one, What does it mean that as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? Point number two, what does this mean? Walk in Christ, rooted and built up, established. Point number three is how we abound in thanksgiving. I like to preach from the scriptures, let the scriptures lead the flow. I do not do it. I mean, this is how I like to preach. Next slide. So, what does as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord mean? So verse number 6. We start with the word therefore. And as... Let me see. Yeah, we start with the word therefore. Therefore means for a reason, consequence. So in order to understand therefore, we have to go back to verse numbers 2 and 3 to see what does mean, like, as you receive Christ Jesus, the riches of fullness, assurance of understanding and knowledge of God's mystery, which is in Christ, who in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So what is God's mysteries? What is the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge? So as it is as you receive Christ Jesus by understanding the knowledge of God's mystery, and in this understanding and knowledge, you will find the hidden treasure of wisdom and knowledge. So please go ahead and look at the page of mystery. This is a word search that I did online. I like to do word search in the Bible to see what does it mean. How does Paul use the word mystery in other passage? So let me show how do I do it on a normal Bible word search. So basically, so I like to use a website called Blue Letter Bible. I don't know if you guys... And you can go in. And then you can search the version of it. You can search ESV. And you can search words. Colossians 2, right? You go where the words of mystery is here. You go 2:2, and you have here the word mystery. So here, if you go all the way down, here is all the word mystery got used in the Testament, the New Testament, and the Old Testament. So, with the technology nowadays, it's pretty easy to do a word search. I encourage you guys to do it while you're studying. So, take 2-3 minutes, read through it, and see what can you come out of the definition of mystery. So, go ahead. So, you can get the idea of what mystery was talking from the Bible itself. So let me draw your attention particularly to Ephesians 6:19 and say the mystery of the gospel. The Colossians 1:26-27, the mystery which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 4:3, the mystery of Christ. 1 Timothy 3:16, the mystery of godliness. And look at Ephesians 3:9. What are the particularities of this mystery for Gentiles? So let's come up with some understanding for this word mystery of God that is using. To my understanding, the mystery, which Daniel Nedalko preached last week, is the hidden mystery that God is unfolding. The hidden mystery is God unfolding plan for the world and his plan to redemption through the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And the salvation doesn't only belong to Jews, but also to Gentiles. So this is what a summary that I come up of what the mystery that has going on. So then as we understand God's mystery, we will find the hidden treasure of wisdom and knowledge. And wisdom and knowledge. We study the topic again and again about wisdom. But we all consider that we are lacking of wisdom. Because we all consider that we are lacking of wisdom. But do you ever think what is the wisdom that is in Christ? What does it look like? We always ask for wisdom for managing this and managing that. We always run into difficulty and we want wisdom. But what is biblical wisdom? One way of discovering this is through word search, that's what I've been doing, to see how Paul uses this word wisdom in other verses and definition. So let's flip your chart to wisdom. So before you go into the words of wisdom, it's good for you to think a little bit of like, what do you think wisdom is? We have been studying about wisdom, right? We say wisdom is... Anyone have a definition of wisdom?
Clarity.
Okay. Wisdom is...
Mm-hmm. To be according with his will.
Okay. Any other definitions?
Apply knowledge.
That's a very common wisdom, right? Okay. Let's take some time again to look at the word wisdom in this particular, because that's a lot. Let's try to focus on 1 Corinthians 2:1-13. This particular one. You can go home and study all others, type of wisdom and things like that. Let's focus on that and couple of like what type of wisdom that you guys think that is in the Bible. So is everyone done? What do you see? What do you see about wisdom in there? It's easy. It's just like the words. Let's go to the next slide. So this is basically while I do it. I love this speech of all wisdom, possible words of wisdom, spiritual and power, the wisdom of man, but it's God power, wisdom of these ages, or of the ruler of this age, secret and hidden wisdom of God, word not taught by human wisdom, but taught by spirit. So what do you guys see? There's two main categories of wisdom. You have the wisdom of? You have wisdom of the world, and you have the wisdom of?
God.
Of God. Okay. So you make a summary, the next slide, is you have two types of wisdom in this world. Like, when we ask wisdom, do we ask wisdom from God, or we are asking a human wisdom? That is, you are trying to ask that, like, oh, I have this particular problem, please help me to solve in this way, you know. What I'm trying to demonstrate here is there are so many voices nowadays in the world telling us about wisdom. Some people tell us that in order to get wisdom, you have to read one or two books per week. Other people tell you to ask other people to spend time with people that is already in the positions. You have to spend time with them so that you can get relationships, you can get wisdom from them. And I'm not... And some people are relying on internet. Nowadays, you can go on internet, you can search for anything, you can solve your problem. As Christians, is our wisdom from there? Is like, as Christians, our wisdom is from the Bible. It's from one truth. It's from one unchanging truth that is from God's word. One source that is a treasure for us and that we can build on is Christ. I'm not saying that other methods have no value, but before we look in other sources, we ought to go to the Bible and see how does the Bible define wisdom, or like how does the Bible define anything and guide us through our problems. I think that is very, very important. If that's one thing that you get out from the sermon today, is if you have any problem, anything that you do not know how to define, go to the Bible. Do some study in the Bible. Like, I'm sure you will get an answer for it. So, point number one, as you understand the hidden mystery and have received Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then walk in Him, rooted, built up, and established in the faith. So, we understand what is the mystery, and as you receive it as your Christ, as your Lord and Savior, He tells us to do, walk in Him, root up in Him, and establish in Him. So, what does it mean walk in Christ? Do you buy a Jesus onesie and then just zip up and walk in Him? Like, what does it mean? So, here's another way that you can study scriptures, looking at all the verses and make a summary of it. So you can go through this page of walk. So you can go through, I already did the summary for you to walk, and I figured out that the Bible is always said to walk in this way. For example, to walk, do walk in the proper as in the daytime, as wise, in newness of life, as children of light, by the Spirit, in the same Spirit, according to the Spirit, by faith, in love, as Christ loved us, in truth, in Christ. And on the other hand, it said, do not walk according to the flesh, in orgy and drunkenness, sexual immorality, sensuality, quarreling, jealousy, in a human way, by sight, as Gentiles, in the filthy of Gentile mind, as unwise, idolists, in darkness, in the same way in which he or you has once walked in sin. Like, this is the way of to walk and not to walk. Right? And all of them, trust me, we can have a sermon of it. Like, it is by itself, so I'm not going to focus too much on each one of them. So, one thing that I want to point out, as you go through and you can go home and study about what to walk and what not to walk, is to warn you, as we study the Bible, it is easy to make a to-do list. To list, we want to do this, we do not want to do this. A reminder, a Bible is not a morality book. We do not go to the Bible and say, because I show you guys about Word Church and everything, it seems like, okay, as long as we go in, we study the Word, and then we have a list of to-do and not to-do, we follow all the things, then I'm good. Like, no. The Bible is not a morality book. It's not the book that you open, you study it, and then to do or not to do, and I'm good with Christ. The book is history. It's his story. It's the story of God. That we are his creatures. Look at his plan revealed to us. I like the word that Danny Lenda could use in the last sermon and say we react to what God plans. As we receive Christ Jesus, so walk in him. The walk is a reaction out of as we receive Christ Jesus. This thing is the thing that we do and we don't. But I want you that we can go and we can read through it and then we can say, okay, this is how we have to walk by faith. But if you do not go back to as you receive Christ Jesus, you lost the point. So, do not focus on do and don'ts and forget about our motivations. We walk because Christ come and save us. So, Ephesians 2:8-10, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which is God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. I love this particular phrase. If you guys want to go home and memorize it, it'll be great. Okay. Next, after we look through the walk, the next thing is to root and to build. Plants are often used as a metaphor in Bible. In John, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. In the parable of seed growing, we can see how some will grow 100-fold, some will fall away. We also have the parable of mustard seed. What does it mean when the Bible says rooted in Christ? Roots are the part of a plant which attach to the hole, to the ground, and carry water and nourishment to the rest of the plant via a system of branches. Rooted in Christ is a wonderful example of our spiritual growth and our relationship with Christ Jesus throughout the Bible. The use of plants and roots in this are symbolic of our connections to Christ, the necessity of it. So there's advantage of being rooted, and there is also things that will happen if we are not rooted in Christ. So these are two things that I want to talk about. So we are talking about spiritual growth, we are talking about spiritual fruit, and then we're also talking about the benefit of being rooted, and then what happens if we are not rooted in Christ. Here are a few Bible verses. Do I put it on? I guess I did. Yeah, so here are a few Bible verses, and you have it in your Outlook. I think it's in. Yeah. Okay. It's in there. So, here are a few verses which use symbolically of plants and roots to convey what advantage of being rooted in Christ are. So, Jeremiah 17:7-8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, who trusts in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the streams, and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaf remains green, and is not anxious in the years of drought, for it not ceases to bear fruit. John 15:5. I am the wine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, I am in him. He is that bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. For this, Ephesians 3:14-19. For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in you, in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strengthened to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that is surpassing knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of Christ Jesus. So you can see that rooted in Christ is very, very important. That is not something that I didn't say before. I just want to remind you that whatever you walk to do or not to do, you have to root it in Christ. We have to come from Christ. That is our source of our life. That's the source of everything that we are doing. So what happens if we do not root it in Christ? What happens if we decided to just do the thing in our way? We use, you know, I decided to read some book that is not Bible, or like, it's really common in our Christian life, we'll forget about reading Bible, you know, and then start to do our life and be caught up on all the life that is happening, and you know, life got like that. Our life will be filled up with life, that's what I say. It's easy to pass by day and day and forgot to have a relationship, to go back to Christ, to root in Christ, to nourish from her, to get nourishment from Christ, to have a relationship with Christ. What will happen? Matthew 3:10 says that every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruits is cut down and thrown into fire. Mark 4:6, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it has no roots, it withered away. Like, we will be withered away. We will slowly getting yellow and dry, and like we will grow away. Like, so it is important to root in Christ. So another, it is very, very important to root in Christ. I guess I make my point. Next one. Another thing is to, so let me see if I actually, so rooted and built up in Christ are talking about spiritual growth and producing spiritual fruits. How to maintain a spiritual relationship with Christ. One of the ways is reading the Bible, so that your roots in Christ will be strong, and when the hard time comes, you are not going to be uprooted and wither away. There is a picture of a tornado come and a whole tree gets rooted away. Okay. The next one is built up in Christ. When we talk about built up in Christ, we look at another illustrations of building. God likes to use the words of building, like illustration. We were studying on Thursday Genesis. You know, he used the word pillars. Like, it is a very, very common, because he's a creator, he's a builder. Like, is one of the metaphors is often used in the Bible. And let us look at some verses and see what does it mean. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I lay a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each of Let each one take care how he build upon it. Now, if anyone build on the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, you have to read through the whole thing. If the words that anyone has built on the foundation survive, he will receive a reward. And another very, very common, this has a verse in between, I skip it. Another very, very common illustration of built is built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. This is the picture that I found online. Is the apostle and the prophet and Christ as a cornerstone. And here is the Jews and the Gentile. What is he talking about here? Isn't he talking about the church? Isn't he talking about... And it's clear for us that Christ is talking about the church. Another way to build our faith in Christ is in church. So come to this point, my question is, what is your faith built upon? As for the society today, we are so individualistic. Some Christians even say that we do not need to go to church. We could stay home, listen to the sermons, and I have my own relationship with God. And is that what the Bible is talking about? Like, no, I do not believe so. I believe every single Christian needs to come to church and worship together with other believers. So more than that, do you build your faith in Christ as he is a head and we are his body? Do you involve yourself in the local church? Do you come every Sunday? Do you just come every Sunday and check out to-do list and say, I went to the church, and go on your way to the week? Or do you grow with the church? How do you... I want you to think a little bit about it. How do you build upon the church? Do you care about what the church is going to preach? Do you care about what is the main missions for the church? How do you contribute in the growing of this body? This is something that I think you have to bring it home and think about it. So now we talk about to walk. We talk about, let's see the next slide. Yeah. We talk about to walk, to root it, to build up, and the next point is to establish. To establish in your faith is to establish in faith. Hebrews 11:1-2 is where I will go for the definition of faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things that are hoped for, the convictions of things that are not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendations. So, I love the topic of faith, but the faith is a sermon by itself. So if you like to discuss about faith, come to me, come to Ken, come to anyone, or go to Alex, or go to Case. This is a wonderful thing to talk about. Have faith in Christ, and what does it mean with faith. What do I want to say is, as we, let's look at Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which is clinging so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne. At the right hand of the throne of God. As we are called and rooted in him and built in him, we are called to establish faith. We are called to establish in faith. We need to keep our eye on Jesus. Let's look at the scripture again, Colossians 2:1. Do I have a scripture put it there? Yeah. before. Yep. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face. Like, we often wonder how the Apostle Paul did it. When he said in 2 Timothy 4:7, he said, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Isn't that what we want in our Christian life? To walk in Christ and be rooted in Christ and to produce spiritual fruit, build up in Christ, all of this require hard work. It's not easy. Paul struggled for it. Paul often used an example of marathon. It's a long life run. So let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking toward Jesus. I think that's what it means to be established in faith. So, next slide. So, point number one. Let's go up again. Point number one. Understanding the hidden mystery and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Point number two. We talk about, so, because you receive it, you understand it, so, you walk in Christ. You be rooted and built up in Christ. And be established in the faith. So what is next? Just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. This is a series of reaction that we are doing. We believe, we understand, we believe, then we walk, we're rooted, we continue, and then we establish our faith. And what is the reaction of it? Is we will abound in thanksgiving. We will have gratitude. So I have another pages, because I cannot have too much time here. I have another pages about thanksgiving. You can go home and look at it. I think it's after so walk. So you can go home and then you can study about thanksgiving. So before I close, I want to look one more point. So let's go back to Colossians 2, 1 to 8, the whole scriptures. Yeah. I want to point out in verse 4. I say this in order that no one may delude you with a plausible argument. So that, verse 8, so that no one can captive by philosophy and empty disease according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of this world, and not according to Christ. If you do not learn anything today, I hope you learn one thing. That is, we are called to believe Him as our Savior and to be rooted in Christ, to grow in Christ. In Him we will grow together as a church, not with our own understanding, but based on His Word, the Bible. I demonstrate again and again the word search, how I extract everything, not by my own understanding, but by reading all those scriptures that I pull out from the Bible. So that's one thing, that in order to not be captive by the philosophy, in order to not go by the human traditions, or be deluded by the proximal argument, read the Bible. Go and check, double check, triple check with the Bible. If Ken come to you and talk something that you do not understand, read the Bible, come up to your understanding. We all have a Holy Spirit in us that will guide us. Of course. So go and read the Bible. And in this book, you will find Jesus. You will find the truth that you can avoid by being captive by philosophy and human traditions that is not according to Christ. Conclusion. How can you avoid by being captive by philosophies or human tradition that are not according to Christ? Answer is walk and be rooted and built up in Christ, establish in faith, and overflow with gratitude. This is my answer for it. Do you remember the homework from last week? Any one of you do it? Read talk about in Christ, isn't it? If you didn't do it, I do half of the homework for you. You go to the last page. It's in Christ. I summarize in Christ for you. This half is talk about salvation. This is the gospel. This is to have, to do, and to be. I encourage you to go home and read through it again. If you are too lazy to search for all the scriptures, I also print it up for you at the back. There's a worship for in Christ and a worship for in Him. So it's a very, very valuable lesson that you can go home and read your Bible and to think about what does it mean in Him and in Christ.